And for the first time in my life, I trembled. I never remember trembling before. And I shook in my shoes, and I actually said this. I said, it's all right, you're there, and I'm a sinner. And if you take me and damn me in the lowest hell, you're still right and I'm wrong. I felt I was talking to God and he was going to damn me. And then like a thunderclap it came, what are you trembling about? Sure, God loves you. Friends, I couldn't get that bit. I thought God loved the people that went to church. God loved the people who carried a Bible. God loved the people who said prayers at night. I didn't go to church. I didn't own a Bible. I never bowed my knee. I didn't think God loved me. And then the light of the gospel came. Yes, God loved you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I was back to what my mother had taught me. She had taught me that God loved me so much that he gave his Son out of the ivory palaces, gave him up to the death of the cross, and on the old blood-stained rugged cross, Christ died for the ungodly. Another text, what truth? Christ died for the ungodly. That's God's word. When you describe me, did Christ die for me? And the whole thing came so clear that not only did he die on the cross for a thing like me, but he rose again and he was alive. And I could accept him there and then as my Savior. And if I would accept him, I would never perish but have a new life. I was at the spot, all right. I was nearly saved. Ah, but the devil doesn't give you up like that, you know. My, like a thunderclap on this side, old serpent's voice would say, what about the blues? Sure, if you accepted Christ, you'd never get away from the blues. You'd make a mess of it tomorrow. What about your ungodly companions who are whipping on you? What about the money you owe? What about all the things you've got to put right? Why, here I was at the crossroads of life. There was the cross. There was the living Savior. There was the way to heaven and home. Here is my friends, my pals. That's a broad way that leads you to hell. And God was waiting on my decision. It seemed as if God said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. I'll never imitate this, you know. But I took my cap off, an old cap, screwed it into a rope, screwed it hard and held on to it. I was really at the spot. And then I gave it another inch and I turned to the Savior. I said, Lord Jesus, on this spot today, I will give you my life, and I'll accept you now as my own and personal Savior. And praise God, it was done just like that. Oh, say again. I didn't need anybody to tell me either that it was. I had an experience with the living Christ. I was there when it happened. I was so sure, you know, that I turned on my heel there, tore the old paper up that I'd drawn, crawled out through a hole in the hedge. I just had crawled out, there's a big fella coming down the road, he's about 22 years of age, and I said, hello, see that field there? I met the Savior there a minute ago. And he looked at me and then he put his hands up and then he crept away around me and got up the road and kept looking back. He thought I was out of some lunatic asylum, you know. Oh, one of the Protestants of Ulster he was. One of our Protestants, that's what he says he is anyway. man from Central Africa tell you? Nothing about salvation or God's Son or accepting Christ in you, nothing about it. Crowd round me would have thought I was mad. And I went on down this little narrow road, and I met another big man. He was about 6'2", 3". Had a look at him. Thought I'll have a go with him anyway. I said, "Hello, mister." I said, "You see that field there? I met the Lord Jesus there a moment ago and accepted him as my savior." Now, this big fellow didn't run. He belonged to the people known as brethren. The Lord bless them. Twice over. Looked at me. He said, "Is this right?" And I didn't know that this big character knew all about this experience. I just thought he was a man on the road. I said, "Look, Victor, I'll tell you about this. I'm a sinner, you know, terrible sinner. And God spoke to me in there, told me about his love and Christ's death. And I've accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior." And I got this over to him in such a way that he knew. And I could see the big tears come out onto his face. I couldn't understand it at the time. And I can remember him gripping me tightly. He said this, I'll never forget it. He said, "Son, fear not the unknown morrow. Dread not the new demands life makes of thee. The one that saved you today, he'll keep you for all eternity." We walked down the road together. He began to tell me what he got saved. And we got to a little crossroads and patted me on the back and, "God bless you." Way went up the wee lane. And I was like Peter, just out of the prison, just coming to my senses now. I was saved, there was no question at all about that. Ah, but I'd got to go to meet the boys. It wasn't funny, you know. You see, friends, you'll never understand this when you work with a gang of boys like this, and every man, Jack of them, carries a loaded revolver, and unfortunately, some of them use them. And there were deaths, which were actually murders. I was going down to meet these fellows, and the moment I step into this wee kitchen and say, "I'm finished, I'm not going," there would be a row, and I don't mean an argument. I mean you would get half killed, if not whole killed. I've seen men thrown from the top of the stairs, you know, and the fellow jumps from the third step. Then they send for the doctor and say he fell down the stairs. And well dare him say anything else. Well, they'd work you over all that. And you know, I'm standing at the crossroads and I know I've got to go down and see them. My friends, it took me to get this very steady in my mind. You know, I knew that Christ on the cross was my sacrifice for my sins. And I knew that Christ out of the grave was the living Savior for my soul. And I'm standing at the crossroads like that too. I must say this to you. I don't like to say this, but you've been patient with me and I must say it. You see, I carried a belt here in those days. And on the side of it here, there was a special pouch. And I carried an open razor there all the days of my life. It was made in a certain way that it just hung out at the end of that little slip. And I practiced this before a looking glass. This is a terrible thing. For hours. Taking that button out like that, taking that razor out and opening it like that. And I could do that in a split second. And I practiced and practiced and practiced until I could bring it out like a flash. And me, with all my stupidity and silliness, if I had my back to the wall and an open razor in my hand, I'd hold one or two of you off for a minute or two. You would be a brave man if you ventured on. And I'm standing at the crossroads, and I said, Lord, I'm saved. I can't go back. I won't go back. I'll go down to the house, and I'll tell them I'm saved. And before I knew, I had the button out, and the razor out, and she's open. And I said, Lord, the first man that says a word about you, I'll cut the head off him. Oh. Now don't go home and say that's the Baptist religion, would you? They'll put you out of the Baptist for that now. Ah, this is just the way I started you getting the truth. And as I stood with a razor in my hand, an airplane flew by. It was down low. It was touching the hedges. Because I knew it. Didn't worry me. It was called Finian the White. It belonged to Lord Londonderry. He had bought it in those days to train young pilots how to fly, and I'd seen it thousands of times in these fields. And I knew as it went past, there were two seats in the plane. It was a twin-control plane. And the young pilot was in front, and the old pilot, and I knew him well, he was behind. And if the young fellow's making a landing and it's not accurate, you know, the old pilot can switch off the young fellow's controls, and he can take over, and he brings her out of the mess and teaches him over again. And as she flew past, the Lord spoke to me. He said, that's how it's done. Just let me take control of this thing. I was learning fast. I was learning that Christ on the cross was my sacrifice for sin. That Christ out of the grave was the savior of my life. But that Christ on the throne was Lord of all. This was the spot, you know. And I knew now that the Lord's with me. I went to a little bridge and I dropped the easel on, and everything else I had that was wrong. And I stood back, and when you come down the years with a razor and a gun and you lose them, you feel lonely. Then I put my hand in the hand of the Lord. And it's there yet. And that's 33 years ago. You can nearly see the woman from here counting my age. You know where the lady's going, don't you? You caught on? They say he was 16 and a half and 33. Makes him 49. We're a bit out yet. I wandered about in the house for a minute a day after he came back, 3 and a half away out in the land. I'm 56 and I look about 22, but I can't help it. They say I'm as young looking as Simpson. He's away. He's a 40, aren't he? Ah, yes. Here I am. I'm in my right senses. Lord saved me that day. Take a minute to say this. I went down to the house. And you know, as I got near the alley, just like any other man, I got frightened. Wondered what had happened. Tried to tighten my hand more on the Lord's. Lord, you'll have to be with me. It's for you I'm doing it. Talk to him the whole way. And then when I got near the alley, the worst one of the whole crowd came round the alley corner. Big fella, he's away to heaven now. He got saved afterwards. His name was Paddy Hanna. And as Paddy Hanna came round the corner, big fella who always wore a sealer's jersey and flannel trousers, and he was as broad as a door. Great big man. And as he came round the corner, I looked at him, and I knew there's trouble ahead now. I was frightened, it's true, because Paddy Hanna was a wild character. Big man, about 6'2", and as broad as a door, and as dark as night, and as strong as a lion, and no sense at all. And yet I knew I'd got to face him. And I said, Paddy, come here, I've something to say to you. And then I got my feet into shape, you see. I got this foot forward and this balance on. I'm not going to get a hiding for nothing, you know. If he's going to come, well, I'll not be here when he comes. I can be pretty sure of that. And he just came within reach of me, you know, and we were just facing each other, and I got my eyes on him, and I wasn't leaving him for a second, because the moment you'd take them away, it'd go for you. I said, now you just listen to this. I met the Lord Jesus today, and I accepted him as my Savior, and I can't go with you anymore. And I thought he would just come like a tiger, but it didn't come. I could see the tears welling up in his eyes and coming out of his cheek. And then he put out a big hand, and I was still frightened. I wanted to put the tips of my fingers into it. I wouldn't let him get the grip on me. And then he squeezed it and he said, God bless you, son. I wish the Lord would save me one day. I never thought he would say that. The Lord did save him one day. He looked at me and he said, you want these boys out? And I hadn't got the grace to answer him. He turned and walked up the alley, and I walked behind him like a kid. And he threw the door to the wall with a bang. And there were two or three guns on the table and money on the table. And he said, lift those cards, lift that money, lift those guns. This is his wording. These boys turn religious. Get out. Nobody dare answer anything. The Lord was using Paddy Hannah to set me free. And every man gathered up whatever he had and got out by me. I didn't look at them. Stood my head down. When the last one went past, he turned around and he said, God bless you, son. You're on the right track, you know. Walked away. I can remember going in, you know, and falling down on the floor and weeping my soul out. And that was about 6 o'clock at night, and I was still on that spot on the floor at 6 in the morning. I wept all night and just praised the Lord. Just cried. I didn't know how to pray. Just cried, Lord, you've saved me. Lord, you've set me free. Lord, I'm free. I'm free. Me, all right. God saved me that day. And the Lord that saved me and hath kept me and hath blessed me and hath satisfied me, bless God, is big enough for you. You remember what the Indian woman cried as she fell in the dust? She looked at the cross and said, wondrous cross, precious blood, blessed Jesus, enough for God, enough for justice, enough for me. Christ's enough. He loved you. He died for you. He lives to save you. He's here to meet you. He's at the door. He's enough for you. God bless you. Let us pray. Let's be still just for a moment. And in the stillness, I want all the believers just to put up a wee word of prayer. I want you, unsaved friend, just to take a moment. You needn't be afraid a bit to give your life to the Lord Jesus. He'll break your fetters. He'll set you free. He'll give you life. He'll give you power. He'll give you grace. He'll make a man or a woman out of you. You'll only need to come and throw yourself into his arms and say, here, take me. And bless God, your whole future can change. And your whole eternity can change. And life becomes life with a capital L. Lord, we're at thy feet. Thank you for that happy day that fixed my choice. Lord, we praise thee for that moment when you revealed yourself to us. When you let us see thy death for our sins. When you taught us that you were really alive, a living Savior. Thank you for the moment when you took us over completely, body, soul, and spirit, and became Lord and Savior of our lives. Lord, we pray tonight that thou wilt call some in these great meetings out of darkness into marvelous light, yea, from death to life, yea, from the power of Satan, unto the power of God, so that they might enjoy thy great salvation. Lord, save again tonight. Thank thee for saving every night of the mission. Save again tonight for Christ's glory. Amen.